Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt, and we're brought to you by Course Sports, the very best in women's activewear, raceplace.com, Function Smart Physical Therapy with Gino Cinco, and Babbittville Radio, where you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes. Our next guest, the only American to ever win an Olympic medal in the sport of triathlon, Susan Williams joins us. Susan, how the heck are you?
I am doing pretty well. It's busy here with three kids and their activities, but it's all good.
I love that. Can you believe? I mean, really, we're talking a little over 10 years ago that you won the Olympic bronze in Athens. Does it seem like the 10 years has just flown, or 11 years has just flown by?
It does. Yeah, we kind of, you know, on August 25th this past summer, like, oh, my God, it was 10 years ago. It's like, oh, my gosh, 10 years?
Yeah.
That'd be 10 years.
Isn't that funny? That is wild.
Yeah.
So growing up, swimming, was that the main sport, swimming?
It is, yeah.
And where? Where did you grow up?
That's a good question. So I started swimming in Panama City, Florida when I was 9, and I was a Navy brat, so we moved a lot. So then I moved to Hawaii, and I swam for Pearl Harbor Swim Club and then another swim club that trained at UH.
Wow.
Then we moved to Long Beach, and I was on Beach Swim Club. And then we moved to Virginia, and I was on Curl Swim Club, and then I ended up swimming for the University of Alabama for college.
And you were captain there.
I was, yeah. I redshirted my fourth year, so my fifth year we had two captains. I was one of the captains, yes.
And what was, when you swam at Alabama, what was your specialty?
My best was the 200 butterfly.
Ooh, that's one of the tougher events.
Yeah, maybe that's why, because no one else wanted to do it. I got to do it.
We always talk about when you talk track and field, we talk steeplechase, and when you talk swimming, you talk 400 IM, 200 fly.
Yes, and you know what? I was in a lot of 400 IMs as well I think probably the very same reason. They didn't have anyone else who wanted to do it.
Oh, that is brutal.
Yeah, we'll just put Susan in it. She'll do it.
So when you did you swim that? You swim 200 fly in high school as well?
No, in high school they just did hundreds.
Okay, that was plenty.
Yeah, so 100 fly and probably 500 free. That was the longest event they had in high school, so that and the 100 fly were my better events.
So moving around as much as you did probably made it easier for you to adapt and make friends, just because you're sort of starting over every year.
Exactly, and as much as I complained about it when I was a kid, I look back and you're totally right. I find that it's easier to meet new people, and that was what was so great about swimming. It's kind of like, you know, instant friends. I show up, I join a swim team, and I've got, you know, instantly I have friends, we have something in common. So
you're in a lane, and you're like swimming with somebody with likability, and you're going, okay, we're buddies.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you're also going, you're getting your Master of Science in Aerospace, and you're thinking astronaut?
That's what I was kind of thinking. I initially wanted to be a veterinarian, but then when I decided to go to Alabama, they didn't have a pre-vet program, so my dad was a naval architecture, and I'm definitely a math person, so he's like, oh, you should be an engineer. So I thought, well, I want to be an astronaut too, so I'll go into aerospace. So that's what I did.
So how far along were you when it comes to becoming an astronaut?
Well, you know, pretty far. I mean, was getting the knowledge, obviously, in aeronautics and astronautics, but I certainly would have, I never went to fill out like application. I did get my first job with Lockheed Martin. I thought, well, this is great. This is kind of along that path.
Right.
But that's kind of it, because that's when I started doing triathlons. I started to do pretty good in triathlons. I started to work part-time so I could train for triathlons. So I think that kind of is the point, well, which way am I going to go? And then when they put triathlon in the Olympics, it's like, okay, I got to, I've always wanted to go to the Olympics as a swimmer. And that didn't happen. So here's another opportunity. So I got to go for it.
So when triathlon's announced as an Olympic sport, when you first got into triathlon, you didn't get into this till you were like, what, 24?
20, yeah, I did my very first one about a week before I turned 25.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. And at that point, how long was it? And how did you do in that first triathlon?
You know, I did pretty well. I don't remember exactly. I think I was second in my age group and maybe third overall.
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking. And it was a little bit shorter than an Olympic distance, but I had so much fun. I mean, I think back and I just remember I put shorts on after the swim, I put my hair back in a ponytail, you know, all these things.
Right.
These newbie things, but I really had fun. And then when I got my job, I wasn't going to have to start for a couple months. I thought, oh, well, I'll just train and see what I can do. And then I did my second one at the end of the summer, and I they may have won my age group, but I tell you, I think what really got me hooked was, well, it was a fun sport, but I saw that training hard for 2 months, I got better at it.
Yeah.
Where with swimming, you know, my whole college career, I didn't do any best times. You know, all those morning workouts and all that sacrifice, and I didn't get better anymore. So it was really refreshing for this new sport to go, wow, I can get better at it. This is great.
I haven't plateaued yet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's we hear that from a lot of swimmers who come back to the come into the sport of triathlon.
Yeah.
And they go, one, I'm not looking at a black line at the bottom pool at 5 a.m. and pulling pool covers off.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm able to see stuff and talk to people and ride my bike and cover a lot of territory
too, because you're not doing just the one sport. You're not
right.
Killing your shoulders day after day, because then you can go run and bike and mix it up.
Now, you went to ITU Worlds in 96 and you had the fastest time there, I think.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, and so did you go pro not long after that?
I did, and you know, it's kind of an interesting story. A little bit before that, my supervisor at work, he brought me this article because he knew I was doing triathlon. I was like, oh, look, they have triathlon's going to be in the Olympics. They have this article about this resident team down in Colorado Springs. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then when I was flying back from that world, I sat near Tim Yont on the plane, and I didn't know who he was,
right.
But I knew he was with USA Triathlon, and so I started talking to him. He's like, yeah, you know, he heard, you know, you're a swimmer. He's like, you should apply for this resident team, and so I did, and I went down there and was accepted, and then that's when I turned pro and started racing on the World Cup circuit.
So when you're early on, they hadn't really made the announcement that triathlon was going to be draft legal. It was, you know, there's still a lot of arguments about what was the sport going to look like in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Did you feel that was a positive or a negative for you, or are you basically sort of too new to it to really make a difference?
That's just it. I had no idea what really that meant. I mean, I think we know what it means. You need to be a really good swimmer. And
yes.
I think that's why when, you know, talking to Tim, he's like, I think you'd be a good foot. And I think it's because of the swim background. But I didn't really know what, you know, the drafting thing was.
Sure.
I did a few triathlons. You don't draft. I didn't train with bikers yet or anything. So, yeah, I didn't really even thinking about that.
So here you are. You're like, what, at this point, 24, 25?
And yeah, I would have been 27.
So you're 27 and going to live at the Olympic Training Center.
Right,
like a college kid.
Exactly, yes.
And how was that hard for you? Because
it
you'd
was,
be
because yeah, I actually, when I
older?
Started working, I bought up my own house and I lived by myself. I had a few roommates here and there, but it was hard to, well, with that, I mean, it actually wasn't bad because I did end up renting a room from someone else's house, so I still kind of had that house environment. But
right.
it was kind of different that I just trained. I ate to train and slept to train, and it was all, you know, something I hadn't done maybe ever.
Right, yeah, where you just focused on it. Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, I just to stay with Lockheed Martin, I had to work 4 hours a week, and there was a little Lockheed Martin department down in Colorado Springs, so I was just doing like some computer busy work for 4 hours a week. Just you know,
4 hours a week, I love that.
Yeah, so you know, really, I was just training, and it was kind of cool.
You spend more than that at lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
You spend 5 hours at lunch and 4 hours working. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good setup.
Yeah.
So when you looked at the progression up until the Olympic trials and, you know, and getting to the game, you know, were you thinking at that point about 2000? Or
I was, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, being on the 1997 resident team, the goal was to get us to the 2000 Olympics. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. So that's what I was shooting for.
And when did you go to the trials in Dallas that year?
I did. So they had the first trials in Sydney.
Yep.
And that's when Jennifer qualified, and I was second behind her, just by about 13 seconds.
Oh, really?
So I was close. So I was really excited. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do this. So, yeah, and then when I was training in preparation for Dallas, my training was crazy. Like, I had one day where I felt like $1 million. Like, I wouldn't get tired. I just went. And then another day I had to get out of the pool in the middle of practice. I was so tired. And I'm like, what's going on?
So no regulation.
When I found out, right, the day before we left to go to Dallas, that's when I found out that my husband and I were expecting a child.
Oh, my God. And you named your child Sydney?
We did, yes. Yep, and Sydney is now 14 years old.
That is so funny. So the goal was to get to Sydney. Instead, you had Sydney.
Exactly, which was, in my mind, a little bit better.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but at that point, did you think, okay, my career's over?
Yeah, I didn't. I'm so thankful. So my husband, he's the one who kind of got me more competitive in the sport anyway. He was so supportive, encouraged me to keep doing it, and I really felt like I still had room for improvement, especially on the run.
Yeah.
And then my mom was wonderful. She came out to actually live with us I think she came out in about 2003.
Yeah.
And helped with Sydney, and so I could train. I did finally quit my job with Lockheed Martin in 2003, and I was focusing on training and, you know, to try and make it. And so,
right.
Yeah, I kind of like, no, that was too close. I'm not giving up yet.
Now, was it difficult for you to watch the Olympics on TV in 2000?
Yeah, I remember that day because it's a mutual friend of, I met her through Jennifer Gutierrez, and she invited us all over to her house, and I remember watching. My belly was starting to get a little big.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I was just excited for her because we trained a lot together,
right.
And then just excited, you know, what my path was. And then it got me really excited to keep going, too.
Now, did you, Honolulu, I think, was mm-hmm. the qualifier for
2004.
2004.
Yeah.
Is that where you firmed up your spot?
It's not, actually. So that was the first qualifier, and that's where Barb qualified.
Yes, yep.
And I finished second, about 13 seconds behind
no
her.
No way, again!
Yeah, again. And I remember, Siri Lindley was coaching me at the time, and she's like, all right, Susan, I don't want any little Athena. You got to do this.
Yes. Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
And so
then the next race was in Portugal. It was the World Championships that year. I had injured my hamstring shortly after returning from Hawaii during training. I was horribly sick right before that race in Portugal. So
yeah.
I ended up not even finishing. During the run, my hamstring just gave out.
Oh.
So that's when Sheila qualified.
Right.
Yeah, and then I went straight from the airport in Colorado to Boulder to see a physical therapist that our team leader recommended, and
yep.
he did his magic, and a week later I was able to start running again, and then Bellingham was our last qualifier, and that's where I earned my spot.
And a lot of times people talk about that getting the spot is that's it. You've punched your ticket, and that's where the excitement. I mean, the Olympics
yeah.
are wonderful. But knowing you're going to the Olympics is pretty amazing.
And, you know, that's kind of, you know, the dream I've had since I was 15 years old was I want to go to the Olympics. And that was when, oh, my gosh, I'm going
to the Olympics.
Pretty darn exciting.
And
yeah.
then you're not just going to the Olympics, you're going to the birthplace of the Olympics.
Yeah.
You're going to
yeah.
Athens. And on, really, if you look at the other courses over the years at the Olympics, that was probably one of the tougher courses. With that hill climb in the middle of a bike.
I'm thankful for that because, you know, my strength is cycling.
Yeah.
You know, had I qualified for Sydney, I wouldn't. I might have finished in the middle of the pack somewhere.
Right.
You know, it was
but it wasn't really set up for you.
Race.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, being able to wait, because then that might have been it. You know, maybe I qualified that's it. I have a daughter. Let's move on. But
right.
because I didn't go to that one, I kept going. And then, you know, how amazing that it was actually, like you said, in Athens. And had a course that just suited me so well.
So when I watch video of that race, the one thing that hits me is Kate Allen looking like Marinda Carfrey, right? I mean, she's running like people are like in quicksand.
Like we're not even moving.
Like,
I know.
Exactly. And
it
these
is
are
incredible.
You guys are running, what, 36, 37? People are running fast times, and
yeah.
Kate Allen's just in a different world. So
yeah, I think I remember her time would have been 10th for the men.
yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so you've got her, you've got Loretta Harrop. I mean, the field is pretty deep.
Yeah.
When did you know that, okay, I'm going to get a medal here?
You know, it's funny because I remember well when I'm running, and for most of it I was in second. I think I
yes.
came out of the transition behind Barb and Sheila, but I don't think it was too far into it that I got ahead of them. So I remember just running thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm in second place.
Yeah.
And then trying not to think about, because I can't even tell you how many races I did where I got ran down, because
right.
that's just not my strength. So I tried to just keep, you know, do what I trained for, just run hard. And so I'm thinking, okay. And then if there's one 180-degree turn, and then there's probably a quarter mile left, and I remember, like, oh, my gosh, I'm in second place. And then this silver bullet
blasts yes.
by me, and I'm like, I'm in third place. I'm still in third place. I'm still, and then as I go, you know, that final stretch, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm still in third place. So,
was there anybody behind you? Did you even bother to look back?
Kathleen Smith was the next one. I think she ended up finishing about 30 seconds
okay.
behind, and
yeah.
she stayed about the same distance throughout the run. So I knew that if I didn't totally just collapse, that
yeah.
I should be able to hold her off. Yeah.
So knowing that you were about to win the first medal ever in the sport of triathlon for the U.S., I'm guessing you were pretty excited when you came across the line.
I was pretty excited, yeah. And I think even more, you know, since it was only the second Olympics that had triathlon, I didn't even think about, you know, when American hasn't done yet. But I was like, the fact that, you know, not only did I reach this goal of going, it's like I can't believe I'm actually getting a medal. And I mean, it's still sometimes I think of it as surreal. Like, wow, that really happened?
So when you get the medal, you're up on the, you know, being able to be up there, they're playing Kate Allen's anthem, but still, you're up on the podium. You're up, you're in a sport that you didn't get into until you were 24.
Right.
And now you're in the biggest event there is, and you're walking away with a medal. That's got to be the coolest feeling in the whole world.
It was really cool, and thanks to my husband, I was able to have my daughter up there too, because when we were kind of parading around to go to the podium, he's reaching across, you know, these barriers that he can't cross. Take her, and I'm like, am I allowed to? He's like, just take her. So I grab her and I carry her up with me, and
you've got that photo forever.
Yeah, exactly. And she says she doesn't remember it, unfortunately, but we have all the pictures so she can be reminded.
That's good for show and tell.
Yeah.
That stuff always works. So how did that, getting that medal, did it change your life?
You know, it did and it didn't. You know, I'm obviously still the same person.
Right.
I don't feel any better than anybody else. I know, you know, it's just something that I earned working hard and having a lot of support. But it did, and that it opened up a lot of opportunities for me. I got to speak with some triathlon teams. I got to speak at a lot of schools, at my church. You know, it just gave me opportunities to share my story that had I been forced, I might not have had that opportunity.
No, you wouldn't have had the opportunity.
You know, and that said, it did give me a lot of opportunity to share my story and to encourage other people and teach them. And you know, maybe even some that I started coaching because they're, you know, lured by that too.
What's interesting to me is I've seen guys who are billionaires who somebody walks in with an Olympic medal and it just stops them in their tracks. There's something about that Olympic medal that
And I think maybe because it's so few and far between. There's not you know, that many. You think of all the athletes in the world, it's probably a pretty small percentage of them that can earn an Olympic medal.
It's funny too. I remember talking to McKeely Jones after she got the silver in Sydney, and there's two ways to look at it. It's like, oh, I could have had the gold, or I won the silver. And she was always, I won the silver medal.
I am so glad, because you know, and you probably, it just frustrates me so much when you get these athletes that get second and they're like, yeah, I lost.
Right.
You know, and it's like, are you kidding me?
It's the Olympics. You're the second best in the world.
Out of, like, you know, trillions Zillions. Of people. Come on.
I agree with you 1,000,000%. It's like, you go to the Olympics or the Ironman, and you finish on the podium, you should be ecstatic.
I agree. And my kids, they know, too. They're like, oh, third place, that's a great place to get.
See? Exactly.
Talking about it, yeah.
So where do you hide your medal? Or do you have it on display?
I have a little display that my husband put together for me that has all my Olympic paraphernalia and my race kit and stuff.
But love it.
I actually keep it in a drawer.
Good.
Just because I figure, well, if someone breaks into the house, I know it's not really worth anything to anybody but me.
Exactly.
But I would be so
You would be devastated. I know. A lot of the athletes I interview, it's in a sock. It's in a drawer. They know where it's at. No one else does, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah. But I have it sitting out here right now because I have the opportunity at my church. They're talking about victory, and they said, "Yeah, we're going to kind of do an Olympic theme. Can you come talk to them?" I'm like, sure.
Well, of course you can. I love that. I love that. So is the theme when you talk? Listen, I didn't start out on a path to become an Olympic medalist in triathlon. My path was to be a swimmer. Mm-hmm. And that ended up, you know, not leading me where I wanted to go. I was open to going in another direction, and it paid off.
Exactly. And you know, I think even more so, it's like, you know, when you have a dream, never give up on it. Because you don't know when it will be realized.
Right.
All you need to do is just keep working hard, and, you know, you just never know what's going to happen.
Well, and I think a lot of the fact that you're so open, the fact that you traveled so much and moved so much, you just seem like you make lemonade out of situations. So, okay, I'm trying to make the Olympics in swimming. Oh, that's not going to happen. Some people would just go, okay, it's time to just move on.
Yeah.
And then you saw an opportunity, and you seized it and went after it.
Which is true. And then, you know, really, honestly, after, I remember my last swim of my swimming career was a horrible failure
yeah.
in my mind because I didn't hit my goal. And I did. I was like, well, I'm going to move on. I moved to Colorado, went to graduate school, and then, you know, then this opportunity presented itself, and I was ready to grab it.
That is so cool. You did Ironman in 2002.
I did.
What
yes.
were you thinking?
Yeah, that's a good question. So here's my thought.
Yeah.
So I always was kind of, you know, I guess I never was a long distance. I was always more of a middle distance.
Yeah.
I'm not a sprinter at all. And I thought, gosh, I'm pretty good at just keep going and going. So I thought, I'm going to try the long distance, and maybe that's better for me. Maybe that's, you know, more of my niche.
Sure.
So I went and did, it was in Utah that year where unfortunately the swim
right.
had to be canceled.
Yes.
Right, yeah. So I did end up qualifying for Kona without doing an Ironman. So I'm like, okay. So I went to Kona, and oh my goodness, I just remember like 3/4 of the way through the bike, I'm like, I'm just about done here. And I remember Nicole DeBoom
yeah.
passing me on the bike, and she's like, it comes and goes, Susan. Just hang in there. It comes and goes.
And you're like, I think it just went.
Yeah, it just went. And then the run, you know, you feel kind of good. 10 miles, like, okay, this isn't so bad. And then that's when I just slowly, my pace started deteriorating.
And then you just go, I just want to get to the finish of this.
Pretty much. And then it's just very interesting how things work. There's a gal, she helped me. She was a coach with me for some cancer survivors. We're training them for running, and she wanted me to help her run a 5K.
Yeah.
So I helped her train, and then I went to run it with her, and afterwards she gave me a gift, and it was one of those, they don't wear them so much, but kind of one of those charm bracelets that have the little
yes.
square
yep.
silver charms, and one of them was the Olympic rings.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going for the Olympics. None of this long course stuff. It's meant to be.
Exactly. Oh, that's yeah. cool. So she had the Olympic rings on there because
she
knew.
Yeah, she had the Olympic rings put on. Not an Ironman. It was an Olympic ring.
Right.
So, yeah.
I love that. She really knew what she was doing.
Yeah, she did.
And I love the variety. You moved into mountain biking, did Leadville?
I did, yeah. I decided I wanted to just do something different. So I picked up a mountain bike and...
Did you win that thing?
I did. I did, yeah.
I love that. I think I'll just jump in the Leadville with about 8 million feet of climbing up at 20,000 feet.
With and not really very much technical skill.
You're nice.
Really, I'm not very good at technical stuff.
Oh, my God. But you're obviously good enough to win the thing. I love
yeah, and
that.
And that's, you know, it's certainly an endurance event. It's not, there's not very much of it that's technical. And I did go and practice the Columbine descent. So
right.
I got more familiar with it. And I was probably better at technical stuff then than I ever had and maybe ever will because I was mountain biking so much. But, I mean, I did a few Xterras, and I would just get crushed by those pro women.
Oh.
Well,
you know what always bothered me with that was just all the single track because
yeah.
I always felt like I was in people's way. You know, he's like, I don't want to ruin anybody else's race. I'm
yeah,
bad
exactly.
enough on myself.
And that's
yeah.
how, yeah, and I'm, you know, I'd be getting passed right and left on the downhill and, you know, feel like I'm in the way, like you said.
Exactly.
And I'm discouraged. So it's like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not for me.
So you, when you retired from triathlon, and what was, when did you?
So I think I officially, well, I retired from racing as a pro.
Right.
I had my second daughter at the end of 2006, and
mm-hmm.
then I did start racing again, some pro races. I did the trade team in 2009, and then at the end of 2009 is when I got pregnant with my son.
Right.
And that's when so my last pro racing would have been like the end of 2000, like fall of 2009.
Well, but then you still won, what, USA Triathlon Age Group Nationals in 2011?
I did. I decided to go do it, and it was fun. I enjoyed it, but I just remember there being a little controversy about that.
Oh, because yeah, it's funny how age groupers don't want pros to race age group.
I know, and you know, I kind of think, well, I
Why?
Don't know where I belong because
right.
if I were to race pro, I mean, I'm 40 something years old.
Exactly,
I'm going to get spanked. I'm on, you know, I'm training 8 hours a week.
Yeah,
when pros are training 3 times that wouldn't really be right. So it's like they need to have kind of master division at races that's for retired pros.
It's not that there's that many of them, but I know that I remember Sean Welch raced age group at Ironman, and women were upset. And I'm like, well, why? Because she's, you know, she's 45 years old. Why shouldn't she race as an age grouper? We want our legends and our pros to stay in the sport. It's a lifetime sport.
I want
Chris McCormick and Susan Williams and all the folks to be out there. Dave Scott. We want our guys to be racing forever.
Yeah, I agree. And then I didn't really pay much attention to it, but my husband was like, I don't know. So he was looking at the, you know, people, I think it was on slow twitch or something.
He's
looking at, he's like, well, Susan, the majority of the people were all really positive about it all. They're like, you know, why not? Why not have an opportunity to race head, you know, next to
excellent
or an Olympian or a retired pro? You know, why not challenge yourself that way? And there's just a few people that were, oh, I don't think it's fair.
So, oh God!
You know, most people thought it was.
Yeah,
it was cool. Yeah.
So you are you coaching now?
I am. Yes.
And primarily age groupers for Olympic distance, Ironman, or what?
You know, it's all distances and all ages. I have one. I don't normally coach professional triathletes, but there's one gal who I've coached a few years now, and she decided to just turn pro. And that was kind of more so because she's doing her first Ironman and a half, and I think it, like, makes more sense financially.
Sure, it does.
To do that as a pro.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Other than that, I really enjoy coaching the age group athletes, and I really like helping those that, you know, are parents and they have full-time jobs, because I can help them kind of figure out how to fit it in, because I've had to do that for so many years.
You really have.
Yeah.
And are you also on the USA Triathlon Committee to help with qualification criteria for Olympics and Pan Am Games?
I am, yes. I think we finally, not too long ago, got the Olympic criteria finished up for this next year. Gosh.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is I think the U.S. is always, I've always respected the U.S. program, because every Olympics you get Australia and these other guys with these coaches selections that is just, it just opens up a huge can of worms.
It really does. And, you know, that's a lot of the discussion we have, you know, of, you know, possibly having one selected as a domestique, but, you know, we wanted to make sure that we, you know, looked at every angle to find someone who is medal capable. First.
Right.
Because that, you know, that's what's most important. Yeah, I just remember some controversy with Australia, like who wasn't on, like even I think it may be with McKeeley.
McKeeley in 2004.
In
2004, McKeeley was injured for, I think she had a blown eardrum, or she had some injuries for basically both trials events.
Yeah.
And some of the gals who got in were very young.
Right.
And really didn't perform well. And McKeeley,
yeah, and
I think,
when has McKeeley ever not performed in a high-level event?
Right. Well,
never.
And the year before, I think she won on that course in the test event in Athens.
I don't remember that.
Think she did well. If she didn't win it, she did well.
Right,
and it was like, well, wait a second. Olympic silver medalist from last time.
Mm-hmm,
let's
I remember
figure this
that,
out.
Like, she always races well.
Yeah.
So that was a silly decision, I thought.
Exactly. Exactly. So so you're doing that. You're a mom. You're going to swim practices and all that type of stuff. Are you still training much yourself?
As a matter of fact, I am, but I'm doing a lot of biking because I'm actually doing the Race Across America this summer.
What?
As a four-woman relay team.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Now, who's on the team?
So it's they're Love, Sweat, and Gears, and the two of the gals did the Race Across the West, I think it was in 2011.
Uh-huh.
And then 2012, 2013, they did the Race Across America with, I think Heather Golnick actually did it with them in 2013.
Yep.
And then this year, it's Julie Lyons and Lance are the gals who've done it before, and then myself, and then there's a gal named Susie Worgen, who she's actually was 9 News and does talk radio here, so she's kind of a well-known personality here in the Denver area. So we're gonna go for it June 20th, leaving Oceanside.
So yeah, you're doing a little bit of training.
I'm trying. It's hard. I feel like I didn't want it to cut into family time, but it's, you know, when you're training for something like that, something, you know, whether it be I'm riding at night and I'm really tired and cranky for the kids the next morning or something.
Well, you know what's interesting, too, is I remember the guys who've done this in the past, when you're doing a four-person team, it's sort of short.
Short and fast.
Short and hard, right?
Yeah, it is.
Which sounds like you.
15 minutes hard, 15 minutes rest. 15 minutes hard for about 4 hours and then.
Right.
Switch pairs, yeah.
Right. I love that. That's actually, well, of course, you love it by the time you get to Nebraska. You're going, I'm out.
I know, no kidding. Yeah, once that humidity kicks in.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I'm so glad that you're still doing all this stuff. And again, congratulations, USA Triathlon Hall of Fame induction.
Were you
surprised when they called?
I was, actually. I think I was out of town. My husband said that someone called about the Hall of Fame. I was like, oh, I wonder if I was nominated again, because I was nominated.
Yep.
It was a few years ago when I filled out the forms, and then I think two Hall of Fame years have passed since then, so I figured, oh, well, I didn't get it. And then when they called, so I was like, oh, are you sure they said that I'm being inducted? He's like, yeah, it said you're being inducted. I'm like, wow, that was unexpected.
That's, now is the whole family coming back to Boston?
No, just my sister is going to help with the kids, and just my husband and I are going to go out.
A little
getaway.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Which will be nice, yeah.
That'll be great. And you're not, I'm assuming you're not running the marathon.
I will not. No, we're coming back Sunday. Although I thought, wow, maybe we could run as a relay together. But
exactly.
I'm not running very much right now. I'm trying to do a little bit, like maybe 2 30-minute jogs a week, very slow.
That's plenty when you're doing race across America.
Yeah. I just don't want to forget how to run.
No, yeah. Love it. Hey, Susan, thank you so much for taking so much time. It's really fun to chat with you.
Yeah, you're welcome. No problem.
Cool. And we will see you in Boston on April 18th when you're going to get inducted in the USA Triathlon Hall of Fame.
All right. Sounds good.
Love it. Susan Williams has been our guest again. We are brought to you by the very best in women's active wear. That's Core Sports, RacePlace.com, Head Sweats, Function Smart Physical Therapy with Gino Cinco. And you can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville Radio on iTunes. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.